What a fantastic psalm. Psalm 145 is. And what an amazing God. Special congratulations to all the mothers out there today. I see there's one or two who are mothers for the first time. So first Mother's Day. And a few grandmothers who have graduated to the ranks of grandmotherhood for the first time. So it's a special Mother's Day for you especially. I hope you're feeling just a little bit special. I must admit that there's a touch of sadness this Mother's Day for me personally, because it's the first Mother's Day since the passing of my mother back in September last year. She was a great mother, and I have nothing but the most wonderful memories of her and of the part that she played in my life over all those years. Today I thought we'd have a break from the series of messages in John's Gospel. And I want us to have a look at the fifth commandment. This was the commandment which was given by God to Moses back roughly 3,500 years ago. And yet it's still fresh and relevant for us today. What is the fifth commandment, I hear you say? Well, if you're watching the screen there a moment ago, it's given it away. Honour your father and your mother. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 5 verse 16. Honour your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is one of the Ten Commandments which was given by God to Moses and the children of Israel as they were there at the base of Mount Sinai. It was so important that God decided that of the ten, if you like, most important of his laws, he wrote these words with his own finger in those tablets of stone which he gave to Moses. Honour your father and your mother. There it is, alongside those other incredibly important commandments. Don't worship idols. Don't blaspheme, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. And there in the middle of them all, honour your father and your mother. When you see the way that many younger people today treat their parents, you could be excused for thinking that this commandment really doesn't rate all that highly in people's scale of values today. But obviously God regarded the parent-child relationship as very, very important. Otherwise he wouldn't have included it there in the Ten Commandments. And it's interesting also to notice that it is the fifth commandment. The first four commandments deal specifically with our relationship with God. Commandments 6 to 10 deal specifically with our relationship with one another. And there, in the middle, number 5, we have God dealing with the relationship within the family, the relationship of parent and child, child and parent. And I guess it's there for a specific reason. We have our relationship with God first. It is the preeminent relationship. And then the relationship within the family, between the parents and the children. Second most important of relationships. The most important of the human relationships that we have. And then, thirdly, the relationship that we have with the rest of humanity, the rest of society. If society is going to be strong and stable and cohesive, it is important that that relationship between the parents and the children be a good, strong, solid, cohesive relationship. In the New Testament, this commandment is referred to in the book of Ephesians and also in Colossians. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, this is the way that Paul describes it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Families today come in many different shapes and arrangements. And sadly, many of those families are only a very pale shadow of the way that God really intended families to be. I was talking to a young man at church here recently whose father left the family when he was a baby. He didn't ever know his father as a child. The mother didn't cope very well, and when he was still very young, he and his brother, who's 18 months younger, were taken from the mother, and the two boys were placed in a foster family. The foster family didn't go too well either, but it lasted for approximately 10 years, and when he was in his very early teens, he and his brother were actually given back to his mother. That didn't go very well either. And subsequently, he got into crime. He served time in prison. And now he's found acceptance in an extended family. That family is called the City North Baptist Church. And on a day like today, he's reading this commandment and trying to work out what it means for him. And it's not easy. It's very difficult. And we need to acknowledge that on a day like today. That we live in a society where there is a lot of dysfunction. There is breakdown at the family level. And that means we need to be sensitive, but we also need to be very upfront and honest when we come to look at this fifth commandment, because it is very important to us and to the world that we live in. The average family size in Australia today is 2 children, and many of those families are actually blended families. Children spend more and more time these days amusing themselves because they're in small families. Often that amusement revolves around the television or a computer or an iPad. Often there's earphones in, shutting themselves off from the rest of the world, and they get absorbed in their own little world in which they are at the very centre. Children today have a tendency towards being very, very self-centred. The fact that there are parents there doesn't even register a lot of the time. They're at the centre of their own little world. It's quite ironic when you think about it. Pretty well every radio station today has a resident parenting expert, and they tap into the expertise of these so-called experts on a fairly regular basis. You can hardly pick up a magazine these days that doesn't have a column in there dispensing parenting advice. There's so much information about how to do family right. Yet the reality is that a lot of that information really doesn't go anywhere. Anyway, that doesn't mean that we should give up on parenting. But what it does mean is that we do have to face the challenges that we encounter these days in the world that we live in. The reality is that there are many children today, many young people these days, who resent their parents and even despise the advice that their parents give. And yet God says in the fifth commandment there, honour your father and your mother. Obey your parents. And we can't escape the fact that that parents still do, or they're supposed to, play a massively important part in the lives of their children. And I think that's especially so when children are young. There are a number of things that children learn specifically from their parents, and particularly during those early years. Experts tell us that it's in the family that children develop self-esteem. It's in the family that they get accepted and encouraged and praised. And this builds self-esteem into these young children. sadly, there are also some families where children get ignored, or they get put down, or they get criticized so much. But their fragile personalities are scarred for life. It's in the family that children learn how to respect authority. Mum and dad, especially in those early years, are the most important authority figures that they will encounter. And they learn within the context of the family there that authority is necessary in order for there to be structure and order in society. And so children learn to respect their parents. They learn to respect the teacher or the football coach or the policeman or the boss at work. They learn to submit to God within the context of the family. The third thing that children learn within the family in those early years is values. They learn what's really important in life. Is it success? Is it pleasure? Is it money? Is it proving that you're better than everybody else? Is that what's important in life? Or is it relationships? Is it people? Is it our relationship with God? And fourthly, children learn to love God in those early years. And this is especially exemplified by the parents themselves. Do the parents love God? Do they put God first? In the home situation there, is the reality of God being demonstrated at every level in family life? Family is obviously extremely important, and parents, by their love for their children and by the sacrifices they make, by the way that they communicate and talk with their children, that they're investing massively in the lives of their young children. But of course, the flip side to that is that children, because of the way their parents are, need to learn to honour their parents. And they need to do it in a way, it says there, that pleases the Lord. That's in Colossians 3:20. So why does God set aside one of these 10 commandments there specifically to tell children to honour their parents? Well, I think the reason why is because he knows that fundamentally we're very selfish people. That's the way it is. Children, by nature, are selfish. So are teenagers. So are young adults. So are middle-aged people as well too. And we all need to be reminded constantly of the need to specifically find ways of honouring our parents for who they are and for the part that they play in us. Our parents are not perfect, and we shouldn't expect them to be perfect. We don't honour them because they are perfect parents. But we need to honour our parents for who they are in our lives and for the way they have invested themselves in us in most cases many years. Well, let's just spend a quick couple of moments here looking at some practical ways in which we can honour our parents. Firstly, how do we honour our parents while we're still living at home? And this applies specifically, these next few points that I'm going to make, to children or to younger people who are still under the authority of their parents at home. I think one way which we can honour them is by showing an attitude of cooperation. It really honours parents when children respond to their parents with a happy attitude. Not whinging, not complaining, not grudging. There's nothing more wearing on parents, and I can tell you as a parent myself, than having to argue with your kids, having to demand that your kids do what they're told. You ask children to help out around the house, clean the room, sweep the floor, empty the dishwasher, put your dirty laundry in the laundry basket or in the washing machine, put your iPad away, do your homework, it's time for bed. And to hear kids respond to that and say, sure mum, sure dad, no problems. That's the sort of attitude that honours parents, that encourages them. There's nothing worse than parents having to constantly battle a grumbling spirit on the part of their children. Another way we can honour them is by showing them respect. You won't always agree with your parents. The reality is that God has placed them in a position of authority over us. And one day when you become a parent yourself, maybe you are already a parent yourself, you'll realise just how much hard work there is involved in being a parent. And so you have to respect them for what they do. Don't just ignore them or ridicule them or make fun of them behind their backs. Listen. Listen to your parents. Weigh very carefully the things that the parents are saying. Talk to them. Spend time with them. It's one thing that I must admit I really appreciate my kids these days, and I realise my kids are kind of getting a bit older now, but it's when they just wander into my office, I'm working away there, and they plonk themselves down on the couch there, and they simply open up and share their lives with me. Ask for an opinion. Tell me what's been happening during the day. And it's good. It makes me feel good as a father. They're honouring me by including me at some level anyway in their lives, and that's good. The third way in which children can honour their parents is by being thankful. Parenting is a very costly exercise. I believe that in financial terms, raising a child in this day and age costs something like $500,000, you know, over that period, say, from ages 1 to 20. That's a lot of money. It's expensive to have a family. But it's even more costly in terms of the time that's involved in investing in the children. It's costly in terms of all the anxiety and the worry that you go through as a parent. It's costly in terms of the mental stress that it causes to your parents. It's costly in terms of the personal sacrifices that you have to make. It's costly in terms of the prayers that you pray for your kids as they're going through difficult times in their lives. It makes such a difference when a child comes along to the parents and says, thanks, Mum. Thanks, Dad. I appreciate all that you've been doing for me. Really lifts their spirits. Thanks, Mum, for that lovely meal that you've cooked this evening. Thanks for doing the washing and the ironing day after day after day. Thanks for proofreading that assignment. Thanks for picking me up from school. Just a little bit of gratitude just goes such a long way. And you know, it's so easy to do. You don't have to be fancy. You don't have to make a speech. You just have to say, well, one word, thanks. And parents know what you mean. You know, there are so many little ways in which children can learn to honour their father and their mother. But then there's another stage of life that inevitably comes, and that's when the children actually leave home. And you don't stop honouring your parents once you've left home. You don't suddenly cease to be a child when you go off and get married and start a family of your own. You do still have responsibilities to your parents. You do still have to keep on honouring your mum and dad. This was very well understood in Bible times, where they often lived in extended family situations. The nuclear family these days, it's often mum and dad and two kids, and sometimes not even a mum and a dad. In those days when families continued to live together afterwards, you know, there was that ongoing sense that even as adults you had to keep on caring for your parents and taking responsibility for them and finding ways to honour them. My mother often used to tell the story about her growing up years, and she grew up in a family down there in Melbourne, but all of her of her life until she left home. She had two aunties living with the family. They never married. They were maiden aunts, and they lived in the family there. They were just always there, part of the extended family. You might sort of balk a little bit and sort of say, gee, I'm glad that wasn't my family. But I mean, that's just the way that it was. And in Bible times, it was very common for families to continue to live in that extended relationship. But this is what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And he was giving instruction to Timothy about caring for widows who were in the church at Ephesus there. And he says this, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I've been particularly challenged about this over the last few months in my particular situation, because I have an 88-year-old father who has become a widower after 62 years. He's fairly able-bodied and he's coping pretty well on his own. He's continued to live in the family home on his own. But he needs his children. He needs us, especially now. He needs our companionship. It's lonely being on your own after 62 years of marriage. He needs our practical help. There was a day when he could do most of the jobs around the place, but he can't do them all these days. And we need to be sensitive to that. We need to recognise that, you know, there are things that need to be done around the place. He needs to be taken to appointments. He can't drive. He doesn't have a licence to drive a car these days. How does he get on with his shopping and his housework? What happens when the fence starts to lose a few palings, or the lawn needs to be done, or there's a leaking tap? He needs advice about all sorts of things. He struggles with technology. Not that I can help him all that much there. But, you know, as parents become older, they become more and more dependent upon us. Once upon a time, it was the other way around. But now they are becoming dependent more and more on us. And we should expect that, and we certainly shouldn't resent it. I was in awe of the way that my three sisters and one of my sisters-in-law cared for my mother during the last months of her life last year when she was battling with cancer, and especially during the final 5 or 6 weeks when they nursed her around the clock in her own home. Towards the end, it took two of them, night and day, looking after her. And they did so tenderly and so lovingly. They wanted to honour her, even in those final weeks of her life. It's interesting when you look at Jesus and the way that he cared for his mother. Even as he was hanging on the cross, he was making arrangements with the disciple John to look after his mum. And it tells us there in John chapter 19, how John, from that moment, took her home to be with his family. But what are some practical ways in which we can honour our ageing parents? Well, as I've already mentioned, we need to be sure that their basic needs are being met. One stage there, the Pharisees tried to use their adherence to the law and their religious lifestyle to wriggle out from the responsibility of caring for their parents. They were giving their finances to God, they said. And that's a greater priority or responsibility than looking after parents. And Jesus said, no, no, no. No, no, no. You have a responsibility to your parents. Look after them. You want to honour God? Look after your parents. We need to make sure that the basic needs of the practical needs of our parents are being met. We need to include our parents in family activities. They're still part of the family. It's wonderful to be part of an intergenerational family. We need to go out of our way to make sure that our aging parents are still included in our lives and in our families' lives. We need to tell them how much we love and appreciate them and thank them over and over again for all they've done for us in our lives. They're the ones who have helped shape our lives and help us to become the people that we are. We need to honour them and thank them for that. And fourthly, we need to encourage them spiritually. I know this doesn't apply in every case, but in many cases, it was our parents who first taught us about God. They are the ones who sat down with us and read us Bible stories, who prayed with us beside the bed, who took us to church and to Sunday school and to youth group. They did everything they could to try and nourish our lives spiritually as they get older. We need to do the same then for them and keep encouraging them, sharing the Lord with them, taking them to church, reminding of all the sorts of things that they once reminded us of. The role of parents in our lives simply cannot be overstated. But before I finish, there's just four more things that I want to say that I think are relevant to an occasion such as this. What if, this is number one, what if Mother's Day evokes sad memories? Maybe bad memories. Maybe the mother that you never had. Or maybe the mother who treated you poorly. And on a day like today, you have difficulty resonating with what we've been saying. The fifth commandment doesn't sort of, it has a hollow ring to it. You know, there are some people I know for whom childhood has been nothing but a nightmare. And if that's you this morning, can I say that God understands your pain? Many other people won't. It's a silent pain in many cases, but God understands it. And he's the most loving father that any of us can have. As the song says, he's a father to the fatherless. And he wants us to come under his care. He wants us to come under his protection. He wants us to feel the warmth of his love. That's the God that we have. He's a faithful God. He's a God who doesn't let us down. He doesn't abandon us. Then what about issues in our families that have never been resolved? And sometimes Mother's Day reminds us about them. It's almost like taking the scab off the sore once again. Perhaps there's been stuff that's happened in our families way, way, way back, which has resulted in distance, conflict. There's stuff there that's never been resolved. Maybe things that have been said that shouldn't have been said, but they've never been dealt with. Wounds there that have never been healed. In some cases, it might even be too late. The parents have died. You can't do much about it. Maybe it is still possible to do something about it. Maybe you've been a prodigal. And you've caused grief to your parents. And there's been a breakdown in the relationship that's never really been properly healed. If you've got the opportunity, can I encourage you to do something about it? If it's not too late, go and have a chat to your parents and talk through some of this stuff. Let them see that God is at work in your life and that God wants to help you to do whatever you can to undo the damage that's been done. It may not be too late. If it is too late, take your disappointment to God. Maybe take your guilt to God and leave it there. Thirdly, however much you love your parents, love Jesus more. Let me read Matthew chapter 10. verses 37 to 39. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me, this is Jesus speaking, is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's pretty powerful words. I don't know how much pressure your family put on you, but I suspect that at least for some of you who are here today, you've experienced that tug in your heart of not quite knowing whether to try to please your mum and dad or to please God. There's been a tension there. And sometimes even Christian parents can be guilty of adding to that tension. They love you, but they're still selfish. They have their own agendas for your life. And sometimes their emotions and maybe their selfishness can actually cloud their judgment. It becomes a problem. Just as our own selfishness and our own emotions can cloud our judgment as well too. What Jesus was saying to his disciples that day is that he wants to be first in our priorities and our plans and our agendas. He wants to be number one, even ahead of our own parents in these situations. And it's very important that we understand that as Christians. No matter how much we love our parents, we are to love Jesus more and obey him first. No matter how important family is in our lives, we must not worship family. We don't worship our parents. We don't worship our children. We worship the Lord. Next year, my sister and her husband are going to see the second of their children heading overseas to the mission field. And this young couple are going to be taking a new baby with them. That means that four of their grandchildren they'll only get to see every 3 years. That's part of the sacrifice that parents have to make. It's also a test of the priorities of that Christian young couple there. As much as they would love to be with their grandparents, their parents, and sharing life together, there is a higher priority. And in this case, this young couple are going to be in Bhutan. Do you know where Bhutan is? Somewhere over there near Nepal. Love Jesus even more than parents. And finally, enjoy being in God's family. Even if you've come from a broken or a dysfunctional family, there is still a possibility of enjoying being part of another family, and it's God's family. And I guess the human expression of that family is the church itself. And there are plenty of loving mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters within the church family, and I hope that that applies here at City North. I hope that if you've had a sad experience growing up in a human family, that by coming to church here, that you can find love and acceptance and encouragement. I hope that you can find here models for the way God's family ought to operate. This was certainly the way it was in my father's life. And he learned what Christian parenthood and what Christian family life was about by going to church and meeting Christians who were able to correct some of the poor modelling that he'd had in his own life. Could I say this morning that if you would like help in this particular area, perhaps more specific help, will you come and have a chat to me? Come and see me. Come and see Pastor Dave or Pastor Michael there. And we'll see what we can do to help you there. Don't spend your life being angry or being bitter or maybe being overwhelmed with feelings of self-pity because you haven't experienced maybe what other people have. I think God still wants to show his love to you, and he wants to do it in a tangible way through his people, through his family. And you know, the way that you become part of that family is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. God invites people into his family as they put their trust in Christ. They become children of God. They get the right to be able to call God Abba, which kind of loosely translates as Dad. That's the intimacy of the relationship that God wants us to have with him. In a spiritual sense, I guess you could say, as we honour our human parents, so we honour our spiritual parent, who is God himself. And I want to encourage you today to just think through these things. At some level or another, we're all part of families. We all have parents, or we've had parents anyway. And it's our privilege to be able to honour them, not just on a day like today, once a year, but continually, but most of all, to honour God and to enjoy the blessings and the privileges that come from being in his family. Let's pray. Lord, today we're especially mindful of our earthly parents, and even more especially our mothers. And we want to pray today, Lord, for all the mothers who are here. We want to encourage them, Lord, in their roles. And Lord, we pray that all of us, including our children, will give our parents, Lord, the honour that they deserve. And Father, we just pray that you'd teach us to do that better and better, whatever age we might be. Show us, Lord, how we can honour our mothers and our fathers. And Lord, we also pray that we might all know the privilege of being invited into your family, that we might all, Lord, have the joy of being able to honour you as our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for your unfailing and unwavering love towards us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. You are a wonderful God, and we honour you today. Amen.